Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We invited Ray Kaplan back into our studio. She is a student loan attorney. Ray, welcome back to the studio. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
What's the name of your firm again?
It's Kaplan Law Firm.
Where have I heard that? So Kaplan Law Firm, I'll give you the web address for her firm in just a minute. We found you several weeks ago when we, for some reason, were talking about student loans and student loan debt forgiveness. You do work in that field, right?
Yes, we do. We do a lot of work in the student loan area. We primarily were practicing, our practice focuses on bankruptcy law, and we discovered that bankruptcy law and student loan law intersect and overlap very often, and I wanted to be able to offer my clients a solution to their student loan problems and debts without necessarily having to file a bankruptcy.
Oh, really? Is that the idea? Find a way to reduce the loan payments? And is your advice to them first and foremost is not to file for bankruptcy?
Sometimes. Absolutely. There are times when a bankruptcy is not appropriate. If all they have is student loan debt and we can take care of it without filing a Chapter 7 or 13, then that's what I recommend.
So tell me what some of the schemes are. That's my word. I mean, this is the law. You might as well take advantage of it. What are some of the opportunities to save on my student loan?
Well, currently there are a number of really fantastic programs that are all under the Higher Education Act that everybody with a direct loan is eligible for. So if you have, let's say, $75,000 in direct loans and you're making $25,000 a year or so, maybe you're a teacher or you're a social worker, you are eligible to enter into an income-based repayment plan where you can pay 10% of your discretionary income on a monthly basis. And you know how the balance of your loan from $75,000 over a period of time because of accruing interest, it grows. So under these payment plans, you're allowed to pay $50, $100 a month for 120 months and then possibly get forgiveness of $120,000 in debt.
$120,000 up to that goes away if you've made all of the payments on time for 10 years.
Right. And we have some people who are in payments right now under the income-based repayment plans who are paying $0 a month and then they get total debt forgiveness.
Because they have so little discretionary income.
Right.
There are people with $25,000 a year jobs and $75,000 student loans?
Oh, absolutely. Especially people who go into the public sector, social workers, teachers.
Do full-time public sector jobs pay that poorly, $25,000?
In the beginning, they do sometimes. Or sometimes maybe they're working part-time.
The loans that are being forgiven, are those a specific kind of loan?
Yes, they're direct loans.
What does that mean?
It's just a category of federally guaranteed loans under the Higher Education Act.
Is that the kind of loan most people have?
Most people do have them. And even if they have something called a FFELP or Stafford or even a Parent Plus loan, we can generally consolidate them with a direct loan to turn them all into direct loans, which are the ones that are eligible for all the
good. How long have we been doing this? If you make payments for 10 years without missing a payment, then the balance goes away and will minimize the debt service so that whatever you owe that month, you might not have to pay that amount because you don't make enough money. What a wonderful idea. How long have we been doing that for people?
Since 2007 is when the program began.
So not very long, 10
right.
years.
Right.
What an amazing, I'll tell you what, if you qualify for that and if you're doing that, I hope you appreciate this. I'm sorry, I do this every time. This is so about me. But for those of us who borrowed and paid or went to lesser colleges, at least economically, because that's the way we were going to get through, you look at this and they're getting to have their cake and eat it too.
Well, you and I were talking about that before we came on the air, and I think there is a problem in that we convince people that you have to go to college, there's no way around it, and there have never been any limits placed on the amount that colleges and universities can charge for tuition. So we force people into a situation where you have to take on the debt or else your life is over.
And God bless you if you want to be a social worker or a teacher. We need more of them and we should pay you more. But you're not going to make much money. You're going to graduate with thousands of dollars of debt and you are going to struggle maybe the rest of your life, at least for 10 years, to live and pay that off.
Maybe, but not under the current system. But the problem is a lot of people don't know that these options are available.
How do I hear stories about people who their kids or they have $800 a month payments due on their loans and they ain't getting rich? Who are those people?
Because I think that there are a lot of misperceptions out there about what's available, and the servicers don't do a good job telling them what they're available.
But if I borrowed money from a bank,
right,
from a bank, a private loan from a bank,
none of this is available.
And do people do that very often?
Yes, we do. I mean, I see a lot of people who have private loans, federal loans, and the private loans, it's a whole different issue. But generally, private loans, we can negotiate the balance and we can settle for maybe 50%.
All right. You've also talked to me in the past about if you are a teacher, a firefighter, a police officer, mm-hmm. What is that all about?
So that's the public sector loan forgiveness, which is fantastic. So let's say you're a teacher or a janitor at a hospital or a doctor at a hospital, and you're making payments under one of these plans for 120 months, you get forgiveness of your entire loan balance after that 120-month period. So anybody in the public sector or any working for any not-for-profit, any 501c3, firemen, teachers, like you mentioned, police officers. And I think that it's just not very well known that this is available.
Regardless of where the loan came from, or does that still have to be a federally backed loan?
As long as it's a federal loan, you're eligible.
Okay, what if I'm not, though? We've been describing loan forgiveness, and we haven't said you had to be working in the public sector. If I'm working for Walgreens and I have this loan, mm-hmm. but a federally backed loan, mm-hmm. am I still eligible for the debt forgiveness?
Yes, but it's private sector loan forgiveness. And that's another thing that this new legislation that we were going to discuss, that they're looking to do away with.
Okay, so there's two kinds of forgiveness then. One is for federal loans?
They're only for federal loans, so there is no forgiveness for private loans unless they decide to give it to you.
Okay, but then we've got these two categories, people that work in the private sector and people that work in the public sector.
Right, and there is forgiveness for both sectors. For public sector loan forgiveness, you're eligible after 120 payments or 10 years, even if that payment is $0 a month. And for private sector loan forgiveness, you're eligible after 240 months. And
20 years.
Yes, 20 years.
Slightly different then, but the same principle.
Right.
Okay, but the there's a bill in the House of Representatives that is going to change some of this. Am I right?
That's right. It's called the PROSPER Act, H.R. 4508.
PROSPER, that's an acronym for public relief or something or another. PROSPER.
It's an acronym for something that will not at all be accomplished by this legislation.
What do you mean?
Well, they're trying to lead people to believe that this will lead to prosperity. And in fact, it's the opposite.
Well, maybe prosperity for the lenders. I mean, I do have some sympathy for businesses that loan money and then because of some legislation don't get the payment back that the people agreed to. I feel so bad for the people that agree to these loans, but I'm a little mystified that we are able to forgive it because it's a burden for them. That just doesn't happen. It shouldn't happen.
Well, under most of these payment plans, though, if it makes you feel any better, they generally pay back the principal and some portion of the interest.
Really?
Yes. It's just a lot of the accruing interest is what's forgiven. So it's not like the federal government is not getting most of the money back.
What will change if this bill passes?
So this is a terrible bill, and I encourage everybody to contact their congressmen and their legislators to let them know that doing away with public service loan forgiveness would be terrible for our society. And I'm not just saying that because I practice in this area, but truly it really does make a difference in people's lives. Under the current system, the example that we were using, if you have a $75,000 loan and let's say you make $25,000 or $30,000 a year, you can pay back, let's say $137 a month. Over 120 months, you'll end up paying back about $11,000 or $12,000, and you're eligible for public sector loan forgiveness. And you're also eligible for private sector loan forgiveness. You pay more back, about $22,000. Under this proposed new legislation, you would be eligible for an income-based repayment plan, but zero loan forgiveness. So I gather you would just have to pay this for the rest of your life.
Perpetuity, yeah.
Yes. And then there's one other payment plan that you would be eligible for, which is to pay back the entire balance over 10 years. And that payment would be about $600 a month, which nobody can afford who's making $25,000 or $30,000 a year.
Well, maybe we should stop talking about them. I mean, what about people who are making $75,000 a year?
Well, those people... For the income-based repayment plans, if your income is higher, your payment back to the Department of Education is higher as well. So it's commensurate with your income. So those people pay back more of their loan.
They have more discretionary income.
Exactly.
And that's I mean, 10 years or 20 years, but the threshold is what's your discretionary income, and then you have to pay 10% of that.
Right.
Or the loan, whichever is lower, I guess.
Right. And we have people, too, who they start off making $25,000 or $30,000, but every year you have to research. If your income goes up, your payment to the Department of Education
But aren't they going to rejigger that 10% and make it a higher percentage of the income as well?
Yes. So the proposed legislation, they are doing away with the 10% plan, and they want to stick everybody into the 15% plan.
Well, if I'm already doing, though, the 10-year payment plan and the 10% threshold, say, and the law changes, do I get to keep the old setup?
Or yes.
This wouldn't affect me. Really?
No, right. You're safe. It's only for people who are borrowing... if you borrow funds in 2019 or later.
Okay.
So if you've already borrowed,
you're okay.
You're fine.
But if you've got a high school senior and you're thinking they're going to be borrowing money to go to college, maybe borrow it now. I don't know if that's a good idea or not, but you really should have your ducks in a row and knowing you're going to need the money down the road if you're in one of these debt payment plans after 2019, if this passes. Then it'll be less forgiving.
And the students are going to be eligible for less money in terms of the loans that they're eligible for federal loans.
You may have a question or a comment. Ray Kaplan is in our studio. The number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You can text or call if you've got a question or comment about this. By the way, Ray, what is the website for your... firm?
Our website is financialrelief.com.
Financialrelief.com. Okay. News is coming up. Several members of a Chicago police gang team are stripped of their police powers amid a federal probe into allegations that they ripped off the drug dealers themselves. That news and more in 11 minutes. Your calls and texts are next on WGN. In our studio, Ray Kaplan is a student loan attorney. The website for Ray, as we wrap this up, is?
Financialrelief.com.
Here's a couple of questions from you. Julie, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Julie, you're on the air.
I just wondered about Parent Plus loans. I took them out from 2010 to 2014 when my daughter graduated. I was making $30 an hour at that point due to layoffs and other cuts and things like that. I'm now making about $8.50 an hour.
How much do you owe? How much do you and your daughter owe?
Right now, I owe $48,000.
How much is your daughter earning?
She is earning about $30,000,
okay.
But she's in the public sector, not
private. She's in the public sector, not private. Talk about that.
Right. So Parent Plus loans are a little bit different than regular direct loans. They are the parent's loans. In other words, the parent is the person who took out the loan. They're the borrower. They're responsible on the note, not the student, even though the loan is for their child's education. So, Julie, what you can do is Parent Plus loans are eligible for the same type of income-based repayment plan that direct loans are eligible for. And it's called an income contingent repayment plan, and it's very, very similar. It's not quite as low as the IBR. It's a 20% disposable income calculation as opposed to the 10%.
Sounds like she might qualify for that, though. She's
yes.
taking a huge income hit. Is it the parents' income that it's based on or
yes.
the students? The
parents.
Because they're the ones that borrowed the money.
Right. They're
so
the borrower.
She would be eligible for some of this loan forgiveness.
Though. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
That sounds great. And then I can just contact your firm?
That's
sure.
correct.
No problem.
Okay.
And the website again is
financialrelief.com.
Those stories just break my heart. to hear people go from $30 to $8 an hour, and people who have $50,000 in loans that they're still paying on, and they've been paying for a while. I'm sorry, Elle, if you just whispered something in my ear, didn't you? Is there a call or a text you were telling me to go to? She said, we've got just one more minute. And all of these texts. John, my daughter has $900 in monthly student loans, and she has one of the public sector forgiveness loans.
Okay.
Payments are higher for those loans. What are they talking about here? Do you know?
No, unless her income is very high, or possibly she's just in the wrong plan. She might be enrolled in the standard repayment plan, and those plans are supposed to finish up much sooner, and so the payments are higher, but she can switch.
I'll say this for all of those of you who have texted. I have your phone numbers here. I'll share them with her off the air, and maybe we can get back to you because you've got life important questions here, and we'll try and help you out. Thanks for coming into our studio. And by
Thank
the way,
you.
The reason that we asked you to come on, besides all of this, is that Congress is considering changing this and making it less forgiving and less generous. They'll debate that, but if you want to weigh in, it's HR 4508. And if you've got a kid or a grandkid in high school who's going to be borrowing money to go to college starting in 2019, that's next year, it will affect you and them. It's called the Prosper Act. It's HR 4508. Ray, thanks for coming into the studio.
My pleasure. Thank
you.
The
website is
financialrelief.com.